Hello and welcome to the best podcast in the Valley for 2020, that according to the readers of Phoenix Magazine. You're streaming another stellar episode of Mac Watson Talks. On this episode, some Republicans want Governor Ducey to take away federal funding of schools. Why? We'll talk about it. Chipotle has a really cool program for teachers. Arizona is now the fifth largest city, but is that a good thing or a bad thing? And the people of Utah have spoken, and they want their governor to change his last name. Why? Oh, I'll tell you. That and so much more is coming up, so let's get started. This is episode 167.
You're listening to Mac Watson Talks, Season 2. Voted best podcast in the Valley for 2020 by the readers of Phoenix Magazine.
Well, kids are back in school, but are they getting sick?
Oh, don't even say that. That's like my biggest fear for our kids, particularly for our littlest.
Well, yeah, 4-year-old Jariah Wynn was pretty excited about his first day of school. Now he's cooped up at home with COVID-19, according to his parents. Mom says, I haven't even touched my son, hugged my son, kissed my son. I haven't even been within 15 feet of my son since Friday.
Well, who's taking care of the 4-year-old then?
Well, that's a good point. I'm not sure.
It's kind of a weird statement.
Yeah. Mom and Dad said Jariah's first day at school was last Monday at a preschool at Mountain Point High School in Ahwatukee.
How scary, though. I mean, his first day of school and he was exposed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was inside a high school. It was at the Pride Preschool, located inside Mountain Point High School in Ahwatukee. Everything seemed to go all right. Then the school sent out an email stating that someone who recently tested positive for COVID-19 had been inside the classroom. 4 days later, that's when he tests positive as well.
Oh, my gosh. It's so crazy.
I know. And of course,
they're not giving us any more details. Like, did the person have a mask on? Did they not have a mask on? Was it the janitor? Was it the teacher? Was it another student?
Well, they did say Jariah was wearing a mask in class, but his parents claim most of the other kids were not. We're going through that with our own brother.
I send him off with a mask, but yet when I pick him up, the mask is hanging from the lanyard around his neck. And when I say, did you wear your mask today? I wore it most of the day, Mom.
Most of the day, right. Yeah, and that's because because
they're not requiring masks to be worn right now, the teacher never asks him to put it back on after he takes it off. It's really frustrating to me.
Is that what it is?
It's super frustrating to me. And I'm going to send a note back in because they have these little folders that go back in every day. Like, please remind him to put his mask back on. Like, there's a reason why he has it on a lanyard around his neck. You know, like,
but because
he's at five, he can't remember on his own.
Right. But because Ducey isn't going to require that schools do it, they're kind of hands are tied, right?
Well,
that
last year they would have required kids to put their masks back on because everybody was required to wear a mask. But this year they're not required. And when we were there on the first day, I'd say there was maybe five kids out of 17 in his class that had masks on.
Five out of 17?
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Because they're little, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Now, what about sister? She's wearing a mask, right?
Yep, and her best friend is wearing a mask. They're both masked.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, so
that they're both masked.
She said that that most of the kids in her class are wearing masks. Like, it's not really an option not to have a mask on. Like, it seems like everybody has them on. I think the older kids are used to it. They did it last year.
Well, they did it last year.
Yeah.
Right. Also in the news, speaking of Doug Ducey, Arizona GOP lawmakers want Ducey to withhold funding from school districts that require masks.
What does he just want? A lawsuit? That's a lawsuit that'll go in to court easily and he'll lose. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't understand the bait and switch here that if you don't wear a mask, that's okay. If you want to get sick, that's okay. But if you want to enforce a...
But if your school wants to say, look, in this building,
right,
under this organization, we require people to wear masks. I mean, really, like, we're required to wear a mask in all city buildings now. If we go to the library, we have to have a mask on, you know? Like, so a school decides it wants to do the same thing, and now suddenly lawmakers want to withhold money from them? Who are they punishing? The administrators?
They're punishing
the kids.
They're punishing the kids, yeah. In a letter issued this week, GOP members also asked the governor to take legal action against districts that are not complying with state law. Lawmakers asked four things to happen to hold school districts accountable. One, withhold the federal funding currently under the governor's management from any school district that is noncompliant with state law.
They cannot withhold federal funding.
Now, you say that. Why did they suggest it then?
Well, if they're not in compliance with, I mean, I think this is a law that they're, it's not going to stand up to withhold funding for. If they were, if they said we're withholding funding because you know.
You wasted it last year.
You can't pass your mold tests or because, you know, your teachers aren't licensed. I mean, those
right.
Kind of, but to say you're going to withhold it because of a policy about wearing masks. Really? When they just want to stay open. They don't want to have quarantine happening.
That's right. That's right. Two authorized temporary empowerment scholarship accounts, or ESAs, for all students trapped within a school district that is noncompliant with state law. I don't know why you would want to do that either, but, you know, again, these are Republican lawmakers. Send a notice to all families within the boundaries of a school district that is noncompliant
like
with state law empowerment.
We've lost our minds.
We've lost all common sense.
And it's that the GOP is really, they're just like, no, we're in charge and we said this. And if you're not doing it, we're going to stomp our feet and like make you pay for it. They're like really angry, immature, you know, whatever.
Children.
Yeah.
They're acting like children. Also, number four.
They're kind of acting like somebody's alcoholic stepdad. Like, you didn't listen to me and I'm taking your allowance away. That's what they're really acting like.
Wow. Okay. Initiate legal action against any school district that is noncompliant with state law. In the letter authorized by Representative Jake Hoffman out of the 12th District, he went on to say the legislature did its job by passing common sense laws to protect the children and students of Arizona from anti-science mask and vaccine mandates.
Which are anti-science. It's actually science. Oh, my God. See, like, really, we've lost our minds.
I know. The blatant disregard for the state of Arizona.
I just hate the news. I hate it because it's just full of stupidity.
You mean it's full of stupid people making stupid decisions, right?
It is so stupid. It's like, seriously, it's like, no, the CDC said it and a bunch of scientists said it. But we lawmakers who are not scientists.
We know better. Yeah. And it's not going to get any better either. That's the thing that scares me. How many kids are going to get sick? How many school districts are going to have to shut down? That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the school systems that have to shut down because the kids are getting sick or the kids are getting each other sick because they didn't enforce a mask mandate. And then what, do all the kids go back online? Oh, that's going to be fun, especially for baby brother who's in kindergarten. How's he going to go online?
He'll love it.
Yeah, he'll love it.
He told me today, not to the max. He told me today, he said, some boy, I don't even know his name, punched me. And I'm like, why did he punch you? Because I wanted to play alone, and he wanted to play with me. And I said, no, I'm playing alone. And so he punched me. So he'll love it if he gets sent home. He's like, I just want to play alone. I don't want to play with any of these other kids.
Yeah, how's it going for him, by the way?
Not so well.
He doesn't like the rules. He says there's too many rules. There's too many.
It's too loud. He doesn't like lining up. Nobody gave him any hugs all day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like he's not complaining like, oh, I don't like my schoolwork or whatever. When I ask him about what he did, he's like, we did some coloring and we did some cutting and we sang some songs. Like he doesn't complain about those things, but he doesn't like the rules. He doesn't like lining up. And the rules are not like he's like, I hate rules. I'm too cool for school. It's like, why do I have to stay in line? Why can't we just walk along?
You know, right.
And you know, like, why can't I get up from the lunch table and just, you know, wander around? You know,
sounds like his dad.
And he doesn't like sitting in his chair. He wants to get up and stand up and look at stuff sometimes. Like, he'll see something and he wants to go look at it in the classroom. And the teacher's like, no, you can't stand up without asking. It's so hard.
They're already doing that. See, I thought kindergarten was more like.
It is not a free-for-all daycare, Mac.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
school.
I thought. That's what I thought. It was more like a free-for-all daycare,
no,
but I guess
it's
not.
School.
Oh, geez. Poor guy.
Yeah, well, you want to hear all about his first day of school, go ahead and sign up on Patreon because we'll be talking about the first day of school.
That's true.
And back to school on the bonus episode next week.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give you some good news. Chipotle is giving away $100,000 to help teachers buy back to school supplies. And 100...
I want every teacher to do this that I know so that they can get, because they spend so much money, the teachers do. Like, there's just no, There's just no way around it.
94% of public school teachers have personally paid for school supplies, with the average teacher spending $479 out of pocket. Even and others spending thousands to outfit their classrooms.
The kindergarten teacher told me that she's like, her husband's like, no, not more receipts. You know, when she was talking about how she has this treasure chest that kids get treasure prizes out of, like if they had a good week or whatever at school. And she said, so if you ever want to contribute to that, you know, just let me know. And so, of course, the very first day when after school, when the kids and I went to go and buy stuff for their lunches, like what did they want to have for their lunches? I picked up this like party pack of Paw Patrol toys, like that you would have for like a birthday party. And I sent it in with a sticky note on it that said for the treasure chest. And she's like,
nice.
She also buys snacks because some kids don't come with snacks. And the kindergartner's lunch hour is at 1 o'clock.
So 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Because they are the dilly dalliers of eating, which is totally true. That's exactly true about toddlers. And they're just barely not toddlers. I mean, I would still consider my 5-year-old a toddler. And so they are the last lunch hour of the day so that they can take as much time as they need and bleed into their recess time. And there's not another class coming in behind them. But that means they have to have snacks at least twice during the day. And she's like, I end up buying a lot of snacks. And so I always appreciate parents who will send in a box of, you know, like, you know, Goldfish crackers or something, you know, like that, so that I have snacks here and I'm not always the one providing it, but I have to do it because so many parents forget. So she's like, please try to remember to send snacks in with your kids every day.
Yeah, especially as the school year goes along, I bet that less and less parents are giving that the supplies
and,
that they
and
need.
While if you don't send your kid with the lunch, under the CARES Act now, any kid who wants school lunch can get it. There's no applicant. You don't have to have an application. They'll
That's
give
right.
it to you. There's nobody will say, hey, you know, you owe us money or anything like that. They send the forms home because they want you to fill them out because they get more money the more kids that fill out the forms, I guess. I mean, we didn't fill out the forms because I don't think we qualify income wise. But on the very first day, brother was like, oh, they had juice and I got some. And I was like, oh, no, you don't, dude.
Oh, he can't have juice?
Yeah, but he needs to bring it from home. The school does not need to provide it for him. But I know that right now, and they did it last year with Sister, like on half days, they would send the kids home with lunches.
Right.
And, you know, they just, there's this, like all of this understanding that in these times when people are unemployed and don't have as much money, that kids aren't getting as much food at home and they might want food over the weekend.
That's right.
And so they would send them home with these, you know, these food sacks or whatever. And the teacher asked me one time if it was okay if she sent one home with our daughter. And I said, yeah, of course. And she's like, well, because she has an eating disorder. And I was like, her eating disorder is about restricting, not about overeating.
Not about overeating, right.
So you can send one home with her. It's totally fine.
Right.
You know?
So if you want to participate, teachers can reply to a tweet with the hashtag supplies contest. That's hashtag supplies contest and a photo.
And mention, obviously, Chipotle or reply to the tweet. And then a photo of your school supplies. Like, tell every teacher you know. They could get reimbursed for, you know. So maybe it's not for all the whole year if they spend $400 in a year. But maybe just to get school started, they spent like $90, $100. And they could get that reimbursed. And wouldn't that be cool?
Teachers have responded with pictures of receipts from everything from printers and books to colored pencils and crayons. Public education funds have tightened. Teachers in 42 states are paid less than they were a decade ago. Mm-hmm. We know all about that here in Arizona, don't we?
Right. But we're not the least paid. We're not the worst state for teachers and teachers' pay. Even if our test scores and stuff are some of the lower in the lowest states, we actually fall in the middle for teacher pay. So we don't have the lowest teacher pay in the
nation.
No,
I know. But again, we've struggled. We've talked about Red for Ed on this podcast. We've talked about teachers before that we just don't pay them enough money.
We don't. And it's, you know, the economy hasn't been great. So school budgets haven't been great any more than anybody else's have been great. I mean, if you talk to public employees, they'll tell you that they have only gotten cost of living adjustments to their wages, which are not raises. They call them raises, but they're not raises. They're cost of living adjustments. For the last 15 years, they have never given raises to public employees.
Right. In other news, Phoenix grew at a faster rate than any other major city in the last decade, officially passing Philadelphia as the nation's fifth largest city. That's what new data from the 2020 census shows.
Oh, I thought
shows.
We were the fifth largest state.
I did too.
We were like in the running or we were tied or something.
I did too.
Now we're officially the fifth largest city.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're behind New York, LA,
Chicago,
and
is it Houston?
Houston. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Phoenix, Arizona, which I don't understand because television market wise, we're market number 12. Radio market wise, we're number 15. Now this says we're number 5.
In so population. Really... So, but maybe we have a population that just doesn't have the same market power for radio. I mean, it's all about advertising. And so,
yeah.
You know, they're talking about what they consider the market. So, I don't know.
The Phoenix Metro.
Obviously, like LA would be number one because it has so many people, even outside like the boundaries of LA, that it's just so huge, you know, like and New York the same way. It's so, but it's concentrated. I think that also makes a difference. Phoenix population is spread out.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Phoenix grew by more than 160,000 people from 2010 to 2020, an increase of 11%. The data released this week by the U.S. Census Bureau provides the first local demographic counts for the 2020 census, and these show how population has changed down to the neighborhood level and within demographic groups over the last decade.
Wow.
I mean, I guess it's a good thing that we have more people moving here. I guess you don't want to shed people as much because you have more people that can provide a tax base, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time...
Well, we've had some industries moved here, and that means more employment. And right now, there's a housing shortage. So we know that there are more people moving here even now.
Right, yeah. Even though it rents up, you know, the housing market is insane.
And they say unemployment's really far down. But I think the truth is, having now been through the unemployment process this last year, again... that it's actually people are just like, screw it. I'm not even going to claim unemployment if they don't have to, because it's such a pain. It's such a struggle. And for the most, when they start denying it, you just go like, is this even worth the struggle?
Yeah. I thought unemployment wasn't bad. I mean, but they for took, me, but it remember, wasn't bad.
But then they remember they took it away and they said, we're not going to give it anymore unless you go back to filing whatever every week. And even if I did that because I had no income base in the 18 months prior, I got booted. I got booted from the system. So
now you got booted from the system again. Why?
Well, because one, I didn't have I couldn't show that I'd applied for 5 jobs in the last week or whatever.
Okay.
And two, because I have no income base and they no longer are providing the pandemic unemployment assistance that they were providing.
They were making the rules harder and harder for you to receive unemployment.
Well, so that I had to qualify under the regular unemployment, and that would mean showing that I was applying for 5 jobs a week, and I had to have income base within the last 18 months, which I don't.
Which you don't, right.
So
again, I thought it was pretty easy.
Well,
I thought
you had income base. You were applying for like 17 jobs a week.
That's true, too. So I thought it was pretty easy, and it was good while it lasted until I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... Again, there's something to it that you want to move to a new place, you want to move to a new city, it's exciting, it's new, you like it, but then you don't want more people to move there and ruin it. You know, we've heard the Californication of Phoenix.
I think that's more, that the Californication is probably more true in say, you know, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, where they...
You don't see it here?
No, I think because they traditionally had smaller populations, and then to see all these people coming from the coast and wanting, you know, and I think we saw a lot of it during the pandemic where people didn't have to work in the office anymore. And so we saw this mass exodus from Silicon Valley of people that could now work from home. They didn't have to show up at the office anymore.
That's right.
And they didn't want to live there, you know?
Right.
So
you don't say it's a bad thing that people from California are moving here?
It doesn't bother me. No, not really.
Well, I mean, it's changing the face of politics. It's changing the face of the way we...
Well, good, because the Republicans are a bunch of idiots, apparently, lately.
Well.
They're trying to, like tell our schools that they're going to withhold funding for, you know, trying to take care of our kids. Oh, great. So smart.
It's turning the landscape. It's turning the political landscape from red to purple, if not blue. Because again,
I think we were purple long before this. I mean, we have 2 Democratic senators.
Yeah, recently that's happened.
We're purple. It has nothing to do with people moving here, though. I think
you don't think so.
I think it has to do with the people here are sick of what what the Republicans are doing.
Oh, see, I thought it was just the opposite. I thought it was the more people moving here.
I don't think it's more people moving here. I think what's really interesting is because Arizona allows for you to register as an independent, which is not true in every state.
Right.
So there are lots of people registered as independents, which I think is really has this different idea. People who are registered for independents are very open to either side. They're not just going to go, oh, I don't know who either of them are. I'll just vote for the guy that's my party. And I think you find we have a better, more educated voter base here. And I think that's why we've ended up going more purple.
That could be. Yeah. That could be. That's just some of the news this week. Thanks, Cricket.
You're listening to Mac Watson Talks, Season 2. Voted best podcast in the Valley for 2020 by the readers of Phoenix Magazine.
Have you done it? Have you joined us on Patreon? It's so simple and easy, and you get so much out of it. Like This Is Us, what it's like to be in the Watson family. Also, Sisters Punny Jokes, and Raised in a Nut House, where we tell nutty stories about our dysfunctional childhoods. All that and more, plus some great free swag, when you join us on Patreon. Here's just a snippet of what you're missing.
When I was in second grade, I had this huge crush on a boy named Aaron Walker. But he didn't return my crush.
Oh.
But I really, 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 really liked him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Were you in the same grade?
We were in the same grade, and I really, really liked him, but nothing ever turned out of that.
Did he just not know you existed, or was he like, ew, girls, I don't want anything to do with them?
Yeah, and he might have just been like, ew, you, because I was a tomboy, so my hair was like short, and I didn't dress like very girly. I just was the most ragtag looking kid. I can imagine why he was like, ew, strange, girl, like from the other side of the tracks looking.
Oh, you know, come on. If you want to hear the rest, go to Patreon, patreon.com/MacWatsonTalks, and sign up today. Time for the smackdown, and this time I'm smacking down President Biden. When he made remarks promoting his economic agenda, he slammed Trump's tax cuts for racking up debt. After months of negotiation, the Senate passed President Joe Biden's $1 trillion infrastructure bill on Tuesday. A day later, the president made sure Americans knew his economic agenda would represent a sharp break from President Donald Trump. He said there isn't going to be anything like my predecessor, whose unpaid tax cuts and other spending added nearly $8 trillion in his 4 years to the national debt. $8 trillion, he repeated. The passage of the infrastructure plan through the Senate was a major achievement for Biden's Build Back Better agenda. And during his remarks, he touted the plans for creating jobs and boosting economic growth, among other things. He also used this achievement to criticize the debt that came from Trump's tax cuts, saying that Trump didn't even attempt to pay for them. According to the Federal Reserve data, the national debt rose by almost $8 trillion during Trump's time in office. That's true. During that time, Republicans approved a major corporate tax cut that added $2 trillion to the national debt. That's true, too. But don't think for a minute that Joe Biden's plan of $1 trillion and then the $3.5 trillion for another program with a bunch of Democratic agenda stuff, don't think that's not going to add to the national debt and that we're not going to be able to pay for that either. So either way, I think Joe Biden's taking an unfair criticism, an unfair shot at the former president. Presidents get in debt. Nobody since Clinton has been able to balance a budget. And it's not fair to the American people to blame it on somebody else when you have the chance to do it yourself. Now, Biden vows that he'll do things differently and pay for his major spending proposals by hiking taxes on the rich. But again, don't think for a minute that's going to pay down all the debt. We are trillions of dollars in debt. Make no mistake about that. But when Biden criticizes Trump, I think it's unfair and I don't think it's warranted. And quite frankly, it's hypocritical. And that is the smackdown. You hear the music, you know what that means. It's time for the last word. Utah Governor Spencer Cox, unfortunate last name, has gone viral over his response to a constituent who demanded that he change his last name, which they called, quote, obscene, unquote. Cox tweeted later in the week, including a face-palming emoji, really grateful for the criticism and constructive feedback I get from constituents that demand I change my name, question mark? The governor shared a letter from someone who identified themselves as a very concerned citizen who told Cox that when people say your surname, it sounds like the word Cox. Okay, we know what that means. I will not stand for it, the person wrote while threatening to protest until the governor changed his name. Because of your reluctance to change your foul, dirty, and obscene surname, myself and thousands of other Utahns, is it Utahns? Utahns? Utahns will be sitting in protest, not standing, until you change your heinous surname to something less offensive, the person added. The constituent threatened to recall Cox if his name isn't changed, stating that this is not a communist dictatorship. Well, after some Twitter users speculated that the letter may be a satire on the governor's name, Cox responded by saying his constituents' affairs director thinks it is serious. Well, the only thing we can be glad about here is it's a good thing his name isn't Lipschitz, because that would be a totally different, I'm serious, that'd be a totally different type of scandal now, wouldn't it? Until next time. Thank you for listening to Mack Watson Talks. This episode is copyrighted and may not be reproduced in whole or part without express written permission. For more information, to become a sponsor, or to schedule an upcoming appearance by Mack or Cricket or both, visit MackWatsonOnline.com. That's MackWatsonOnline.com. Connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon, and leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you hear, share us with your friends. We love new listeners. We'll be right back.